Blog Talk Radio.
The Visionary Hotspot. Talk radio with the consciousness of women, for women, by women. A radio show bridging the gap among women desiring their purpose with the world's greatest minds, achievers, and believers of women's progress. The Visionary Hotspot. Inspiring, encouraging, enlightening, and empowering women to live life as our greatest self. I am you, you are me, and we are visionary women.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Visionary Hotspot, everybody. Today, we are here with Julia Slyke. How are you, Julia?
Hi, Charmaine. I am doing wonderful, thank you.
Oh, good. Girl, I am so glad you are here because today, everyone, we are talking about working smarter, not harder, and having faith. Heart plus hustle equals your greatest business. So tell me, Julia, why is this conversation so near and dear to you?
Oh, sure. Well, you know, I actually started off with a different tagline, and that was less hustle, more heart. And, you know, I just felt like there's too much masculine energy, like go, go, push, push. And as moms and wives, we just want to do it all and be it all. And, you know, I thought, no, we need to step back. We need to, you know, put our heart into things in work and life and in business. And then I got to a point where I was like, you know what? Like, you need to have some hustle in business, but a healthy hustle, not the grind hustle. So then I kind of, I stepped back and I realized, you know, what is my business really built around? And the first thing is that I was put here for a purpose to serve, you know, visionary women and be one myself. And then, you know, putting all my heart into that mission and then, you know, hustling a little bit.
I love that. You know, I think the biggest problem that I see so far with women in business is that we tend to try to mimic what we believe that people who seemingly are successful, we try to copycat what it is that they do and how they've been able to accomplish what it is that they've been able to accomplish. But what we don't realize is that because we are so unique to the planet, every individual creates and has within them an individuality that is so unique to the planet, even if you did precisely the exact same thing someone else did, it may not work exactly the same for you because your purpose is different. And I love the fact that you mentioned purpose because everybody thinks that we have to grind ourselves into the ground. You know what I'm saying? We have to work these 27-hour days when there's only 24. We have to brag about being supernaturally strong. We have to be overly aversive towards others because we feel as though being polite is not going to give us the exact measurement that we're looking for, the outcome we're looking for. So how do we start living in the idea that our purpose will align itself, because that requires faith, will being the future, will align itself with our hustle? Because they got to, I mean, come on, you can't have a baby without a male and female. It's just impossible. Well, nowadays, I guess not. But what I'm saying is normally the egg has to meet sperm. So when your hustle meets your purpose, wouldn't you think that brings a greater result?
You know what? I think it's just uncovering, like, the essence of who you are and what gifts that you have to share with the world, because you don't, a lot of, you know, I find with my clients, they don't even realize the things that they know that they inherently have is things
they
struggle with. And it's like, you know, because I have a client who's she likes to teach people how to just enjoy life, step back, focus on the simple things, be grateful for what they have, and she considers herself a joy coach. But she was like, can I, this is so natural to me to meditate and be appreciative and do these things for myself and for others. I go, there's a lot of people that need some joy in their life.
That is incredible. That is incredible because nowadays we need a damn joy coach. We need somebody to teach us. Did you hear what you said? And we need in society, listen to what you said. We have, in my head, we work hard so we can enjoy the opportunity to breathe and acknowledge that the sky is blue and acknowledge the beautiful green grass and actually pay attention to the hummingbirds and the cardinals that come to pay us a visit. But we now need a coach to teach us to do. Do you see how warped our society has become over the course of time? That, think about it, in the 1940s and the 50s, what was our bombardment? Our bombardment was getting through the Depression. You know what I'm saying? That's what we came through. It was like, okay, you know, I've got to make it to the next meal. I got to make it to the next meal. So that was our hustle. Our hustle was trying to survive this catastrophic financial crises that we were in, right? So then we went from that into the season to what was our bombardment? Civil rights, being human, acknowledging that I deserve to exist. Then we went from that to the 70s and the 80s. Well, Reagan done came in. Well, it's time to party, y'all. I'm sick and tired of the Depression. That's over and done with. In the 60s, listen, I am now human. I have burnt my bra, and now I'm going to enjoy myself just a little bit. But then now we're in the 2000s. And we need a coach to teach us to watch the hummingbirds again. It's like, how archaic have we become because we have become so conditioned by the things that we think are success, when in actuality the successful things that people really want to admire are already in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, my definition of success, I mean, it's actually really simple. It's that my husband thinks I'm a good wife, and my daughter thinks I'm a good mom, and my clients and students think I'm a good leader.
Yeah.
And that I'm happy with myself, too, but I don't measure it. I mean, you know, to me, money's just money. If, you know, and at the end of the day, when your day is done, it's your last day, it doesn't matter how much money you made, how many emails you sent, how many Facebook Lives you did, how many Twitter followers, but it wasn't
right.
Matter the relationships you had with the people in your life while you were doing all that stuff.
Yes, yes, I totally and absolutely agree. You know, it's so amazing to me that we try and strive so very hard to gain the approval of others and what they see or deem as success in our lives. But we as individuals, we have to acknowledge that that's an individual decision of what success means to you. And therefore, my success is very similar to yours. However, on the flip side of that, I don't feel fulfilled if I'm not operating in my purpose. And my purpose, based on what I understand about myself, and what I know based on just meditation and gaining some form of self-awareness is to enlighten others. So when we think of success, we have to get real about what that looks like because, you know, some of the most successful people on the planet literally died penniless, and they did not see themselves or deem themselves as worthy of success, and yet and still they got banks named after them, monuments is in their honor. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, well, is it that you're more successful dead or alive? I mean, really? Because I would prefer to enjoy my success now. I want the hummingbirds now. I don't want them in heaven. I want them right now. I want to be able to feel, touch, see them, hear them. So when we think of success, how do we start to change the narrative on the way society and women within the realms of society see success?
You know, I honestly think it starts with just being honest. When I tell my clients, being in business for yourself is like one of the hardest things you'll do. It's not easy. Like, it's not all fun and games. Yes, it's worth it, but you know, it's hard work and it does take a special person. And you've got to be dedicated to your purpose, to your mission. And have that faith that you're just speaking your truth. Like, what I teach is authentic marketing, and I know some people feel that phrase is overused, but for me, it's what I do. Like, I'm just me when I get an email from someone at 11 o'clock at night and I'm, you know, on the couch reading my emails and I want to respond to someone, I have to stop myself because I think, if I send this email at 11, you know, at night, are they going to think, oh, she's a workaholic, like she's working late, or are they going to think that she has no boundaries? Like, I'm all worried about what that person's going to think. And then I say, screw it, I don't care what they think.
Exactly.
I want to respond, so I'm going to send the email now. So I really just kind of tune out, you know, the shoulds and what I think is right and just do what feels right to me.
Exactly. And you know, because when I think of monetary gain, I think of those little coins. You know, I got to get my coins, honey, so I could pay my bills. But you don't realize that outside of being a person who pays their bills, you are significantly powerful in the way and in the realm of influencing other people. I think sometimes we forget that we can change the kaleidoscope in which people see things based on the impressions that we leave others with. So I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think also marketing has everything to do with being honest. If I market myself as the next Oprah, they're not looking for Charmaine. They're looking for the next Oprah because they're automatically associating who she is today with what they hope that I will be in the future. When I market myself as Charmaine, this is what it is, take it or leave it, then now you're getting a refreshing course of something renewed and fresh, something you have not experienced before. So how do we stop the copycat? Because, see, that's my thing. I am on Facebook, and if I see one more coach send me a private message about joining a group, I'm just like, if I get one more invite to try a product that I did not personally scope out for myself, that my audience could use, that I know these people personally, and I know their individual character, and I know how they are in business. I mean, I find so many copycats. It's like Dr. Seuss, one page after the other, cat one, cat two, cat three, thing one, thing two. It's like no one seems to have a mind of their own, and they're all following the same path to what they see as success. How do we start living in authenticity?
Well, it definitely starts with, tuning out the noise. And I got to a point in my business where it was just like, all just said what works for someone doesn't, you know, might not work. And I've tried everything, and I was just like, you know, I believe in this. I believe in my business. I believe in what I can do, and it's not working. So I was like, hold up, what do I need to do? And I was like, I need to stop listening to everybody else, and I need to start listening to myself. And then I just got real quiet, and I was like, what do I need? And I said, I need an authentic marketing plan. I need to stop doing what everybody else is telling me to do. And
yes.
What feels good to me. And
yes.
Do it.
Yeah, I love that. And that, you know what? I applaud the fact that you were A, aware enough to realize that's what you needed, and B, you had the courage to do it. You know, sometimes I think within the realms of business, sometimes we really know what the right thing is, but I think we're afraid to do and or accomplish the unknown because we don't know where it's going to go. You have no clue where it's going to take you. So I applaud you in that because I think that's where we gain our greatest strides, when we don't know what's on the other side of this mountain that we're climbing. But then when we get to the top, we see, oh, my God, there's a valley down there with all kind of grass and all kind of food. Oh, my God, I'm going to the valley. then we start working our way back down the mountain. And is it going to be easy? Absolutely not. It wasn't easy climbing it. But then the idea is the reward is waiting for us in the valley. So then my question for you would be, how do we start allowing women in or encouraging women in or aspiring to, as women, to engage in a space where we appreciate our uniqueness? Because that's the problem I'm finding, that unique seems to be a passe. It's like, don't rock the boat. Hell, we may all fall out of this thing. It's like, instead of before, you know, rocking the boat was actually a good thing because it challenged mm-hmm. our minds, our mindset, and it challenged mm-hmm. the conventional thinking that we were taught. What do you think?
You know, I think Susan Hyatt, one of my mentors that I love, she had taught me that really, you know, everything that you had gotten in trouble for, like in your younger years, is what what your gift is and what your strength is. And for her, it was like, you know, opening her mouth. And now she, you know, coaches people and publicly speaks and things like that. But I thought of it one day. My daughter was on the bus and she got a warning note sent home for misconduct that she was exciting the students around her and thus she was being disruptive. And I, you know what, looking forward, I said, getting the people around her excited is getting her in trouble now in third grade or whatever she was. But I said, as she gets older, that is going to be a really good trait to have.
Yes,
to
it is.
Get the people around you excited.
Yes, that and that's not an easy thing to do either. That is not an easy thing to do at all because it's very hard to build morale and momentum within people who seem kind of dormant. It's so funny that you mentioned about getting in trouble when you were younger because I've always gotten in trouble for talking too much or saying the wrong – seriously, saying the wrong thing. Like, okay, so Charmaine was always overly honest, like the kind of person you didn't really want to sit next to because if you were – going to ask her something, she's going to bluntly tell you how it was. Like, girl, you need to take that up out your head. That is ugly. Instead of saying, I don't really think that's quite for you. I really think you should try something else.
Mm-hmm.
I was the girl who said, I hate it. I have to take it off. It's ugly. Girl, get rid of it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, those are the qualities that are within me that people desire because I think as the American public, we are so tired and fed up with hearing the same old thing. And we are trying everything in our minds to kind of come up out of this rut that we're all in, and yet and still we're still stuck. It's, you know what I'm saying? It's like that thing when you were young, you were told by your parents, okay, if you go to college, you get a decent education, you mind your business, you stay out of trouble, everything is going to be okay. They forgot to tell you the part of, no, baby, you're going to have to really work hard, okay? No, seriously. Y'all might eat rice and beans for a few days at the end of the month. You know, for real. Come on. We got to learn to teach people to be honest in your – because in that kind of honesty is where we – and when and how we grow. So yeah. When we keep it honest, like I had someone, a really famous client of mine said to me, you know what? I was eating rice and beans. I said, girl, but what kind of rice and beans? What kind of, was it mixed together? Or what? You know, because it didn't even faze me that they were eating rice and beans at the end of the month. It did not faze me that that's how they were living from one month to the next because you know why? At this stage in her life, everything that she had to sacrifice, she no longer has to sacrifice, and yet and still she's seeing the fruit of her labor. So how do we start to teach people, endure the challenges. They're not going to feel good to you. You're going to cry many a days. Listen, pick a number and get in line. We're all doing it, okay? You may have to, you know, I'm serious. You may have to pretend that hole in your pants was there by design. So for real. Like we may have to actually pretend that hole in your pants was there by design instead of because you done got too big, you done split it. We have to be honest with each other because in that honesty, you never realize how your truth allows someone else to be truthful. How do we start living in that?
I think you, by example, being an example to others and, you know, taking down the facade. I mean, I always tell people I'm an open book. You know, there's nothing I won't tell you. And that's, you know, maybe I wear, like, my heart on my sleeve and, you know, I am too open. But, you know, I always say to someone, like, even if it's in life or business and they're having a trouble making a decision and, you know, well, first I'm always like, well, what's your heart say? Like, you know inside that they're having, you know, trouble tapping into that. It's like, now I'm losing my train of thought here, certainly.
I love that. And you know what's so funny, too? here's the funny thing. When we think we're the only one enduring, everyone we know is we're all going through something. Something, some way, some shape, somehow. It may not be identical to what I'm suffering from, but I can guarantee you it's something. Like today, I have always been so used to worrying about whatever it is. Girl, it could be, it could literally be a hangnail on one of my children. And I'm like, oh, my God, she might get infected. She may just die. Do you see what I'm trying to tell you, what you're dealing with the mental capacity of a person who is so dramatic that they are engulfed in worry? And then one day, sometime during the course of the day, I sat back and I really, because I'm extraordinarily analytical, and I sat there for a moment and I said, okay, you have a beautiful roof over your head. Your cars are paid for. You owe nobody nothing. And you're 32 years old. How many people could say that? And then I said to Charmaine, I said, Charmaine, sit down, girl, and hush. Just sit down and hush. You see what I'm – like, I have my health. I can breathe in fresh air without swallowing something solid. I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Like – yeah, am I wearing Louis Vuittons? Absolutely not. I'm wearing Ralph Lauren's, and I got them on sale. Praise the Lord. Do you see what I'm trying to tell you? This is what I'm saying. Sometimes we are looking for the next best thing when we don't even know how to appreciate. Appreciate. That is the word of the day, ladies. Appreciate where we are and what we have today. We're so busy living in the future, we have no time to enjoy the present. How do we start enjoying the present? Goes back to that thing we spoke about, enjoying the hummingbirds and the birds that come to pay us a visit. How do we start living in the present moment?
Well, it definitely takes a conscious, really just knowing what your goals are and what your vision is for your life and how you want to feel every day, and you know, work towards that. I'm teaching a class right now, and the first project we did was create a vision board on Pinterest, and I was amazed at how many people only pinned a couple pictures. And one gal, she went to town. Like, I could tell you all her hopes and dreams. She put up, like, 200 pins, and I was like, this is what's wrong with people. Nobody knows what they want. Like, nope, they're not hungry. They're not striving for anything. And she knew what she wanted, where she was going, who she was going with, what. And it was just really impressive, but I thought, the homework was to dream about anything you wanted. And you put, like, 5 posts on a board.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That is so funny. So from that exercise that you did with your clients, what did you gain from that you can teach my audience something of value?
Well, I would say, you know, really sit down with yourself and know what your heart's desires are. And, you know, there's no right or wrong answers. And everybody's in different seasons in their life. And maybe, you know, you're focusing on your work, or you're focusing on your marriage, or your, you know, kids are going to be out of the house soon and you're focusing on them. It's what feels right to you, and know where, you know, where your heart is and where you want to spend your time, so that you can be conscious of how you spend your time. Like you said in the beginning, that, you know, there's 27 hours. We need 27 hours a day, and we got 24. Like, and that's another thing I do with my students, is to plan out your dream calendar. Like, really write out, here's my family time, here's my work time, here's when I make dinner, here's when I put the kids to bed. And then you start to look at your calendar and you go, oh my goodness, I really have overestimated how much of my to-do list I can squeeze into my week.
Yes.
And you're realistic.
Yes. And you know what, too? I think it's also important to keep it honest with your purpose. Because remember what you just said. You said nobody seems to know what they really want. Do you realize how much time we squander? And that is what it is. What time we squander when we are not honest with our purpose. So if I'm going to school to be a neurosurgeon, but my truest desire is to bake bread, do you know what kind of money and time I'm wasting? I'm sitting here looking at neutrons and atoms when I'm supposed to be looking at baking flour and different forms of flour and how the yeast is supposed to chemically be put together with different forms of flour, whether it's pastry flour or all-purpose flour or bread flour. But yet and still, you see what I'm saying? Not being honest with your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
How do we start telling ourselves the truth so we can get to the space and the place where we can actually start the process of living in purpose?
Well, I think it helps, you know, it helps when people ask you those questions, because I was having a conversation just with a peer, and she was really struggling, like, with who she the demographics of who she wanted to help and carving a niche for herself and grabbing it. I said, so you're a life coach. And she kind of paused, and I realized that she'd been, like, trained and told that she, you know, that she has to focus on something. She can't just be a life coach. And then she was saying, well, I think I need to do, like, career counseling because, you know, people need help with that, and that's where, you know, that's what they'll pay for. And I go, and she goes, I help them write resumes and do all. I was like, do you like doing that? She was like, not really, but it makes me money. I go, well, if you don't like it, it's not going to make you money. Like, you got
that right.
And then she sent me this sweet, sweet message how, well, and I think we only talked like 15 minutes, how she had, it really tapped into her. She's like, you made me think about things. She's like, I have this book I want to write. It reminded me of that. This is really what I want to do. And she tapped into that passion only after we had a 15-minute conversation together.
Wow. 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 That is so incredible, because I think that that's important to be able to acknowledge what it is that we really want. Now, the question goes to, within this next 3 minutes of the show, how do we go get it? You know what I'm saying? Okay, we've acknowledged what to not do. We've acknowledged what it's going to take to get to our purpose. Okay, great. Now, how do we go get it?
You make a plan, and you plan your work, and you work your plan. You stick to it.
Okay. You plan your work, and you work your plan. So if we're working our plan, so perfect example, one of the things that I did when I first started out, I went to my local Chamber of Commerce. That was like where I started. And then I went into the other realms of connecting with other women. So when we think in terms of going to get it, you have to be extraordinarily creative. It's not going to require mediocrity. Business, and I'm telling you, I have owned 3 companies, and I'm telling you, business is not for the faint of heart. If you think it's going to be too hard and you already feel defeated, you might as well get out the game now, because anything you do moving forward, you're going to fail at it. If you don't come up with some kind of morale to engage with your honesty. So one of the things that I think that would be great is if you could give us your information. So when my clients, my audience, we want to reach you, we need to know, how do we go make our plan and get our plan and work our plan? How do we reach out to Julia Slyke?
Well, you can go to juliaslyke.com, but maybe a little easier to remember is lesshustlemoreheart.com, and that will take you to my pretty pink website where there's a contact me button and my social media thing.
Wonderful, wonderful. See, this is what I love. I love when women, when we can get together and we can hammer it out for some other women, because, see, you and I, Julia, we understand what it's going to take to survive the down times, to enjoy the good times, and to kind of work our way through the times when we really have no clue on what the hell it is that we're really doing. I'm just keeping it honest. When we just don't know what it is that we're doing, and we find the confidence somewhere, somehow within us to actually rise to the occasion. So I am so, so glad you had the opportunity to come with us. Hey, everyone, remember, you can always reach me, Charmaine Caraway, at thevisionarywoman.com. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I am on Mars, if you can find me there. See you later. Bye.
The Visionary Hotspot. Talk radio with the consciousness of women, for women, by women. A radio show bridging the gap among women desiring their purpose with the world's greatest minds, achievers, and believers of women's progress. The Visionary Hotspot. Inspiring, encouraging, enlightening, and empowering women to live life as our greatest self. I am you. You are me, and we are visionary women.